Greetings, Clearwater Revival. Have you ever seen the rain? Good as gold, KSEN 443-17 before 5 o'clock with Puff Tuesday afternoon. I think my special guest this afternoon has seen some rain in her lifetime. She's joining us long distance live from Sarasota, Florida. The name of the book, and what a story she tells. The name of the book is Eat First. You don't know what they'll give you. The Adventures of an Immigrant Family and Their Feminist Daughter. And my guest joining me this afternoon, long distance live from Florida, is Sonia Pressman Fuentes. How did I do on your name?
You did beautifully.
All right. Well, I had trouble with the first name when I said Sonia. No, it's Sonia. And then this last name you have, the F-U-E-N-T-E-S, it's pronounced Fuentes. Like it's spelled
very good.
Like it's spelled. So we're off to a great start, right? Do you like me already?
Too soon to tell.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes here. You're quite a described as a natural storyteller, the first woman attorney in the general counsel's office at the Equal Opportunity Commission, a founder of the National Organization for Women, and an international speaker on women's rights. So that's, Sonia, that's quite a resume you have.
Thank you.
Tell me about being founder of the National Organization for Women. How did that come about?
Well, that's a long story, which I'm happy to tell you, but I don't know if you have that kind of time.
All right, well, we'll just read the book and find out about it then. Tell me a little bit about the book, The Adventures of a... I mean, this is quite a story, how you even ended up where you are today and even alive today.
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Can you be a little more specific?
Well, okay, I'll try. You tell me your family background. Your parents were almost...
My parents were both born in a small village in Poland. But my father had gone when he was a teenager. He ran across the border and went to Germany. And subsequently came back to that village, met my mother, and thereafter they got married and returned to Germany. So I was born in Germany.
All right. And you were, how did your parents escape the Nazis?
Well, we all escaped because I had a brother who was 14 years my senior. And when Hitler began to come into power in about 1933, my brother immediately saw what a threat Hitler was and would be to the Jews, and he began importuning my father for us to leave Germany. And my father wouldn't hear of it, so my brother left on his own and went to Antwerp, Belgium, and some months later, my mother, father, and I followed him there.
All right. And this was approximately what year? 40, did you say 43?
It was not approximately. It was 1933.
1933. And this doesn't have anything to do with your book, Sonia, but do you think America was asleep at the switch when Hitler was gaining power and that we got involved a little bit too late with that?
The whole world was asleep at the switch.
Did Roosevelt know what was going on before he told the American people and we began to learn about it?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but there have been books written on it, and it appears that both President Roosevelt and Great Britain had information on what was going on.
Your book, Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You, and then there's right on the book there's a picture of a knife and fork and plate. I notice there's no spoon here, but tell me, well, there's not. Did you realize this? Or
I never realized that. No, I wasn't. I didn't design that logo. I like it, but I never before realized it was missing a spoon.
Yeah. Now, what does that say about me? That's the first thing I noticed. The spoon's missing.
There you go. Then you must be a big eater.
Well, I'm kind of a rotund large man, but I try to watch what I eat. Well, the book Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You. How'd you come up with the title?
Well, I was taking a writing course in Bethesda, Maryland, near where I lived at the time, which was Potomac, Maryland. And initially, I had a title for the book that was something like "Laughing Through My Fears," And the teacher said, if you have a funny book, and my book is written with humor, you need to have a funny title. So I put that in the back of my mind, and I was at a bookstore one day, and all of a sudden that title popped into my mind, and it was something that my mother used to say. My mother was a typical Jewish mother and housewife, and she always cooked all the meals at home, and they were kosher. And as I was growing up, I began to go out for meals, either to a friend's home or to a restaurant, and my mother was very uncomfortable with that, because in the circle that she grew up in and the kind of people she and my father were, they did not go out much. So my mother was afraid that when I went out, I wouldn't get the kind of good food that she prepared for me with so much love. And what she wanted me to do was to have dinner home before I went out, just to be sure that I got a good meal. So she would say, eat first, you don't know what they'll give you.
Well, it's a great title for a book. How long's, Sonia, how long's the book been out?
Book's been out about 10 years.
All right. And have you written other books besides this one?
No, I write a good many articles and speeches, but I haven't written and don't plan to write another book.
All right. Do you think you'll do any more radio interviews?
Oh, I do them all the time. Well, I certainly hope so.
All right. Do you like me now, or is it still too early to tell?
I have never even seen you. How could I like you?
Well, I don't know.
But it's a pleasure talking with you.
Well, it's good having you here. And I alluded to this. I didn't allude to it. I asked you earlier, and I'll ask you again. You played a major role in the birth of the new women's movement. And how did this all come about? How did you get an interest in this?
Well, I was working for the, as you mentioned earlier, I was working for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in Washington, D.C., and that was an agency that began operations on July 2nd, 1965. It was mandated by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and that act prohibited discrimination in employment based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. But the impetus for the act was the civil rights movement and discrimination against African Americans. So when the people at the commission began to administer it, they really were mostly interested in race discrimination, and they didn't want the commission's time and resources diverted to issues of sex discrimination. So I found, as a woman, I found that very frustrating and upsetting. And in 1965 or 66, Betty Friedan came to my office. She was there to interview my boss and the general counsel and his deputy. But she saw me there, and seeing another woman, she asked me what was really going on. And in the beginning, I didn't tell her anything because I feared for my job. But when she came a second time, I was so frustrated that I took her into my office, told her that the commission wasn't really enforcing the law for women, and suggested to her that what this country needed was an organization to fight for women, like the NAACP fought for. In those days, I would have used the term Negroes.
All right. I'm looking at your book. You, man, talk about moving. You moved from, in this chapter on Cleveland, caught my eye. I thought, why would anyone write a chapter on Cleveland? But you actually moved from Berlin to Antwerp, to the Bronx, to the Catskills, to Long Beach, to Ithaca, to Miami Beach, to North Miami Beach, to Washington, to Arlington, to Pittsburgh, to Hollywood, to Stanford, to Beechwood, and finally to Chevy Chase and Potomac. I mean, you've been, and then you had, at one time you were in Shaker Heights, Cleveland. That's where all the Polish people live, I believe.
I didn't live in Shaker Heights. I lived in Beechwood, okay, which is next to Shaker Heights, and I never heard of Polish people living there. It's possible, but I never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Akron at one time, and that's what we used to say. We said the Polish people lived in Shaker Heights, but no, maybe it was Parma. Was it?
People with money live in Shaker Heights.
Oh, well, I think it was Parma then. That's where the Polish people lived. Is that?
That could be. That was the east side. That could be.
Yeah. Did you like Cleveland?
Actually, I did like Cleveland very much. The only problem there was the winters were awful. They were gray and lots of snow, but other than that, it's a wonderful community.
Well, and it probably is a wonderful community. My impression of it was flat. It was I'd come from Pennsylvania, and compared to Pittsburgh, where there's so many bridges and trees and water and green and everything, Cleveland and Akron were just like out there.
Well, I don't know Akron, and I don't know what out there means. But Cleveland had a wonderful community, a university, and lots of activities, and I enjoyed living there except for the weather.
Uh-huh. You're an international speaker on women's rights, and you talked about when Betty Friedan came to your office years ago. And how do you think the progress has gone for equal opportunity for women? Is it is done as well as you would have liked it to, or do you think it's been a little bit sluggish at times?
Well, good and bad. The good is that I got involved in women's rights in 1963. And it's been a great privilege for me to live to this date and see the unbelievable changes that have taken place in the status of women in this country. Way beyond anything we founders could have imagined when we started. On the other hand, we continue to have immense problems for women, both in this country and around the world.
Well, now let me ask you, and this is strictly my impression, but I some of the right-wing commentators, radio and TV people, like, and I'm thinking specifically of Rush Limbaugh. In my opinion, they're derogatory toward the National Organization of Women. They poke fun. They're sarcastic. Why do you think the right wing is so, and again, this is my opinion, but I think the right wing, the conservatives, are down on women's rights. Why do you think that is?
My dear Jerry, I don't agree with anything the right wing stands for. I'm the very last person you should ask as to why the right wing operates the way it does.
Well, I know you don't agree with them, and I'm just saying, why do you think they're so hard on women?
How would I know why somebody who disagrees with me on fundamental issues feels the way they do? I can tell you why I feel the way I do, but how could I know how people opposed to my views, why they feel the way they do? You have to ask them.
Well, that's certainly an idea. How do you think our president's doing? I assume you're a liberal Democrat?
You are correct. I am a lifelong liberal Democrat. I voted for Barack Obama. I supported Barack Obama. I think he's doing the very best he can.
All right. And we're about at the halfway part right now. But I agree with you. Not in the interview, but as far as his presidency, we're kind of, getting into the, congressional elections, and his popularity, his numbers are down. Do you think he can turn this around?
Turn what around?
Turn his popularity around.
Well, I'm not so interested in his popularity as I am in his doing the right thing and supporting legislation that this country needs. I happen to be reading a book about Barack Obama called The Promise, and I heard the author speak, and I'm reading the book at the moment and like it very much. Of course, the issues that Barack Obama has to deal with are huge, unbelievable.
Well, I agree with you. I think the toughest job of any president. Some say more difficult than Roosevelt or Lincoln.
It's I don't know about Lincoln, but that this book written by Jonathan Alter makes that point that Barack Obama came into a situation which was worse than the situation that Roosevelt came into. I think it makes the same point about Abraham Lincoln, who was a hero to Barack Obama and to many of us.
Well, you're quite a storyteller, and it's quite a book. Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You, The Adventures of an Immigrant Family and Their Feminist Daughter. Sonia Pressman Fuentes, my guest this afternoon. Where's the book available, Sonia?
The book is available either from my publisher, exlibris.com, or from amazon.com.
All right. And who do you think should read your book?
Everybody.
Okay. Why not? Why not? Well, good talking to you this afternoon.
Pleasure talking with you.
Okay. Was it really a pleasure? I think it's been a tough...
It really was a pleasure.
Yeah, I think it's been a tough interview.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, good. Good luck on the book, and find out why they didn't put a spoon on the front cover.
I'll have to look into that.
All right. Thank you, Sonia.
Take good care.
All right. 4:58, two before 5 o'clock.